You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Reg, Weebum, featuring XV.
And there is no XV this week, per usual, apparently.
I actually put the show notes need to correct for the increasingly inaccurate intro.
I know. It's like most of those people not on the show anymore. So I'm J.D. Church, hosting this week for Brian Kilby. What? I killed him. What?
Enter occupied Cybertron.
Yes. Yes. It is the year 2015.
Almost.
We have taken over. Almost, sadly. Anyway, welcome to Radio Free Cybertron. I'm JD. We've got Ender. We've got Peter. We've got Rob Clay. And we've got Job in the Luna. No XP. Amy's out. Peter's here, but not Brian? Why? Who knows? I don't know. I'm hosting this week.
Oh, I was like, what? I'm not. I'm here.
Well, you were not here last week, and neither was John. So, see, it was.
Well, I'm
trying to cover the whole range, catch the audience up to speed. You know, they may have not known. Anyway,
I remember Brian.
Brian?
Yes.
I don't know who he is. Never met him. Never heard of the man. He was sending me a message earlier, and I just realized that he sent it. So I was like, oh.
The only human ever to master mass shifting.
Yes. Yeah, he really. Anyway, so
one day Brian will reach his goals and be able to turn into a tape deck.
It's certainly possible. We won't see that in the movies, but
that's the kind of cheap shot you can get away with when someone's not here.
That's right. As much fun as we can make of Brian.
I have a list.
Keep it next to me on the table. So, hey, Brian's in the chat. Probably. Looks like it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Perfect.
Not on the show, but in the chat, because that's how he rolls. Anyway, we have a show this week filled with stuff, and we're going to talk about it.
That is the fact.
Here we go. So, I'm so excited.
See you guys
John,
next week.
Do what? Yeah. So, see you later, and have a good week. Good night and good luck. Anyway.
Peter apparently hasn't finished Arkham City and has other crap to do.
Right. God. I've not got to play this game. I haven't even got to play Asylum. I'm so out of the loop.
You should buy it.
I know. With money that I don't have. Because I've got doctor bills. Seriously? I kid you not. We had $32.
People can't get Arkham City should be like eligible for some kind of charity.
I know.
Everyone should play Arkham
Someone
City.
Someone buy me this game and send it to me. I'll give you my address later.
Find me a 486 I can play TIE Fighter on. Really?
I have a 486. Just come over and pick it up.
Yes, because that's a short trip.
I just may.
You know what?
So close.
The cost of the drive alone.
John, you look like Kilroy was here.
You will never get a vintage like 486 at, like the one at my house.
John always John does this cool thing where he like always has his face like really low in the camera panel. So it's
creepy.
Like, it's his thing. It's totally his thing.
Out of me.
It's like he's hiding out.
It's the thing is, like, I'm also, like, I'm chatting at the same time, but I have, like, T-Rex arms. These are prosthetics. So I got to really lean over.
Sort of like the Burger King thing? Is that like the Burger King thing with the tiny – I have these tiny hands.
Yeah.
And I can hold –
12-inch arms, two digits. It's awesome.
All right, then. Well, I guess we'll talk about Transformers stuff. So plenty of third-party news this week. In particular, of
Hasbro
note,
Hasbro has totally ceded the field to them.
God. Yeah, basically, Hasbro's like, peace out, we're done. We don't even make toys, we just make shows and movies.
Well, yeah, they only realized last week that they were still a toy company right. When the hub started.
We do that?
The hub's not making money? Where's our money supposed to come from?
We should send those out to people. They might want to buy them or something.
Yeah. Where's that guy who worked here 2 years ago that we didn't? What did we do then? We made toys? Crap, we're a toy company?
Down in the dungeon, there's some guy like whittling on a piece of clay. Like, I've made these for years. And
what are all these jerks down here sculpting for?
With one guy and a whip.
Plastic.
Work!
sculpting the plastic Hall of Fame trophy.
2 hours later, after a great deal of explanation, it's like, no wonder those people in the forums keep yelling at us.
Who knew we were supposed to make toys? We so busy with the movie. So,
after we make the toys.
They'll never love us.
God. Hasbro is not going to send us any comp toys, are they? this is what company is Make Toys had the pictures. Who has the toys? TFC? Is that the company that's doing the Not Devastator?
No, Make Toys is a spin-off of Fans Project.
Okay.
The spin-off of a spin-off?
TFC, so Make Toys is making one called Giant, and then TFC is making one called Hercules.
Right. TFC has the Hercules.
And then,
so is
and
this
then,
so we got
a clever way of getting around the copyrights is to not do anything.
We got all these pictures of one of the Not Devastators. Is this the Make Toys version?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the one I don't care as much about that's going to come in all the awesome colors.
The one this one's not out yet.
Right.
The TFC Toys ones has been actually Heavy Labor just came out this month.
Right.
Is it half out at this point?
I believe it is half out. It's half in, half out.
What it's going to look like all together? Are people shelling out $100 a limb?
Like
something they don't know how it's going to turn out.
Like a sad Saturday night.
They got one pretty close, right? They have like a half Devastator.
Yeah, I think they've
got a third of it's out. This is the second one out of six.
But they haven't shown what the whole thing's going to look like together.
Sort of. Yeah, for the most
cool one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, the one that JD is actually interested in.
Right, the one I'm actually interested in and I'll will never be able to afford.
But like this Skittles version we're looking at right now.
Is the... yes.
That'll be readily available.
Right, this is the slightly smaller one.
Taste the rainbow of doom.
It asks you to lick the plastic.
Yes.
Okay, I get what the first...
This Mixmaster is schnozberry flavored.
Sorry, Rob, what...
Oh, I get what the first three are. You know, the two G2 Constructicon colors and G1, obviously. But is there a specific inspiration to the fourth color scheme that I'm missing?
One of the MicroMaster sets? The MicroMaster combiner?
It's Ratchet Stator.
This would be a great question for XV. Unfortunately, he's not here. I think if I may be wrong. Maybe, John, you can ask the chat.
What?
Is this the Micro... there a MicroMaster set? No, because those were all different colors. There's like a yellow one and a red one, and like construction.
The construction theme MicroMaster.
Yeah, because these are all like red and white. I don't understand why. I'm with Rob. I get the first three because you've got Diaclone G1 and G2.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it's two G2s: the yellow and the orange.
Two different.
Just like Six Builder, as far as I know, the Diaclone Constructicons were all different colors as well.
Huh. Well, yeah, that's probably... Yeah, because that was like the knockoff one. Yeah. Clearly, we don't have any idea what we're talking about on this
show. Don in the chat saying it is a... crap, I just lost it. Shattered Glass?
Really?
Okay.
Good, more shattered ass. That's all we need.
Good. Yeah, really.
I did it, Don. I helped you.
Thanks, Don. See, we're clearly the noobs. Okay.
I vaguely come to associate shattered glass with hemorrhoids.
Yeah, I'm not. God. I mean, other than now, I mean, although I do want the Deadpool thing now, but anyway.
Yeah, but it's only because of the Deadpool thing.
I know, that's it. That's the only reason.
One of those many reminders where, like, why is that so proliferated? Because it's so awesome, you'll take it whenever we put it on the market.
Yep.
Yeah, there's
now
that.
Bend over. Okay.
Like, you remember the late 90s when you bought absolutely everything we printed Deadpool on? Yeah, I do. Remember when we made him Agent X and you bought those too, even while we were having copyright problems? Yeah. that's why we keep selling that. It's like, okay. Yeah. That's actually directly my fault in some ways.
Yeah. guilty. So, Transformers Prime Season 2 is going to be on... sometime in 2012.
Just like it's...
Wow.
Geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Right. We're hearing early.
First quarter.
It's always going to be beta testing soon.
Right. See?
It makes sense why they're doing it.
because they forgot to release a toy line with the first season?
Yeah.
Well, no, it makes sense because, you know, on the,
come out with the second season.
So one, the 28th is a Monday, which is not the usual time slot for the show. And then the second reason is that nobody has new episodes in between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's not the best time.
So they're going to release it in late January, early February, when the seasons actually come back. And then it'll be fun.
We'll get three episodes.
It's putting seasons one and two out together like one season.
Yeah. Eh, well, yeah. I mean, we'll get out
6 months before.
I wouldn't say they actually have a lot of programs
receiving no support at all.
We'll get three episodes in February, and they'll be repeated for a month. And
then you'll get G.I. Joe Renegades.
And then we'll get...
They'll burn off the rest of G.I. Joe Renegades.
Hasbro and the Hub pretend like this was a plan.
I mean, I'm not, you know, honestly, though, I think it's a good idea.
To do that. I mean, they sound like Maxwell Smart. I meant to do that.
Right. I meant to do that. But it sounds like a good idea.
It did not happen to My Little Pony fans.
No. Oh, well, they would riot. They would go all pinky and just rah. But anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. So
that's how people riot. They go rah.
Rah. Haven't you seen the Occupy Wall Street people? They're all it's all down Wall Street, Oakland. It's all
Oakland. They
it's always like that in Oakland.
I know Berkeley. Yeah. They actually shoot people. Otherwise,
the rich people are shooting people.
They know millionaires coming down there. Die, you socialist pigs!
Let them eat fast
food. I have to eat my crumpet while I shoot you.
Right now, we're going to break out the rubber guillotines.
God. Yes.
Rubber.
Non-lethal. I'm for February, though. That's a good time for programming, right? I mean, a lot of shows take a hiatus and come back in February. I mean, that makes sense. So.
This stuff's already been made and done. Is part of it though too.
Well,
they were saying it back on years ago how they had like minimum three seasons running because that's how much it was going to cost to pay for the character models.
Yeah,
and they're already saying that the advertising isn't paying for crap, so they're probably running behind on this.
Well, so now that goes into a story? I have a story in here somewhere that there's a bit of a media blitz coming, isn't there, for Prime?
Yeah. We're a toy company?
That's what they said in 2012. It's going to be the year of the Prime.
Yes, everything will be Prime.
Everything is the year of Prime.
I'm not sure if it's supposed to work this way. It seemed to ask me for a password and then like didn't just let me keep going, but their entire shareholder presentation comes up nice and easy to read in a PDF.
Well, they have to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, wow. Thank
it's
you.
The only time that anything from Adobe is reasonably
it must be really simple to read, cannot understand.
The image we even have comes from is from their
shareholders. Smart.
Yeah, from their shareholder presentation.
Yeah, that's got to be real simple and easy.
Crap.
Small
most of
words.
Presentation is like, this is how we're going to screw everyone in Russia.
So. Okay, so Black Friday is coming up. Toys R Us has done like a teaser for their stuff. You have to like them on Facebook to get the full deal, I think. Because
2011.
I know. Really? Facebook? Yeah. Really?
Facebook?
Yeah.
Nobody does Facebook anymore.
I know. It's like the MySpace of Facebook.
Too slow.
So, Toys R Us.
I hate social networks.
So, they're going to open at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving for 2 hours. Then close, then open again at their regular, 5 a.m. time.
And this is what happens when you do your holiday hours with a dartboard.
Right.
You know what this two-hour thing really feels like to me? A big F you to all the Toys R Us employees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I went out of there
10 minutes to 9 to run in and look for, God help me, for some Skylanders stuff with my kids. And I was walking by, an employee who's a woman many years my senior asked, I'm sorry, what time do you close this evening? She said, 1 o'clock.
It was just that deflated.
I was like, in that case, I'll stop rushing and start feeling extremely apologetic.
Right.
Like,
I know.
Well, 1 o'clock, like, at a time that makes no human sense whatsoever. And unapologetically to someone there, because, like, we're both, like, homo sapiens and, like, theoretically can understand, like, yeah, that's really stupid and sadistic.
You know, and I don't, I'm not a big nostalgic of it. I can remember when it was like 6 a.m. was like, oh, they're opening early. And now Best Buy is opening at midnight.
Like midnight.
Yeah.
In the last week of the year.
Target is trying to open at 10.
Oh, my God.
And now they're like putting a petition out. The one guy was like, no, I'm putting a petition out. And then I'm sure after Thanksgiving, they're just going to be like, happy holidays, sucker. Here's a pink slip. Go home.
Yep. Yeah. There's times when I've definitely, like, been looking for something, you know, after hours and wanted to run off and go to a store and when I had no reasonable expectation of it being open and been delighted to find out that some totally sadistic bastard CEO had made sure that I was able to spend that $3 when I really, really wanted to. But when I really think it was like, I don't deserve that. Nah. I should have just waited until the next morning.
Yeah, because then you're just fueling the fire. But anyways,
100 people were daily inconvenienced for little to no reason to provide me with that small modicum of consumerish value.
But long story short, definitely rush down for that doorbuster there because you get 40% off.
Doorbuster.
Yeah,
and
you get 40% off.
And
ultimate.
Then get back in line until, you know, 4 a.m.
Yeah, because you get
Prime that's essentially just like.
This is the big one.
So it's the great big newish one. It's not the one that's
newish.
The Fallen Prime.
Oh no, This is the ultimate Optimus Prime with the trailer.
But I mean, it's a new mold on the inside.
Oh yeah.
It's all new.
You don't have this?
Some of those Japanese ones are.
How do you
just
not have
like
this?
Revenge of the. I have it.
Okay.
Paid too much for it. It's like right here.
How much did you pay for it?
I don't want to say.
Okay. Did you pay the $89?
No, I don't think I paid that much. I think I did get some kind of
discount. I got it like at for 60 or something, I think. 65
yeah, I think
or something.
Off somehow.
Yeah.
Most of Prime collecting is a vast experience in being ripped off.
Well, yes.
It's an exercise for real
if
life.
If Prime could see you Prime collecting, he would weep.
You really are like the sub sort of to Prime. It's just to get chained up and beaten with the hose from the Optimus Prime trailer set.
It's a legitimate psychological disorder. I didn't even go into a story of how it was founded. It's nothing, you know, really pleasant or fun or childlike. It actually is like mocking met with indignation, leading to obsessive compulsive disorder. It's
the joys of toy collecting.
On the other hand, put them all together, it looks really fucking cool.
Oh, well, yeah. Speaking of more Optimuses for you to buy, we got our in-hand looks at the Tommy Takara Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon DA-28 Striker Optimus Prime.
Yeah, this is just the schmuck I'm talking about. This is Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime, who,
yes,
admit, it was a very cool toy with a big mitten.
A mitten?
Well, this
if you gave him, you know, the Eye of Thundera, he would have like the claw shield to go with it. That's all this thing is.
I'm totally confused as to what this comes with, because there's like multiple pictures that were in the set. So is this the one that comes with
box.
The wings and everything?
No. Just look at the box.
So it's just
look
the guns.
The box picture. It comes with the shield and the gun and the sword.
See,
I think it comes with not. I thought I read that it doesn't come with a sword.
Oh no, you're right. It doesn't come with a sword. So it comes with two guns and a shield, which like adds onto the front. So it's pretty much like Revenge of the Fallen, Leader Optimus Prime, like
with
Lion on his hand.
With
it's like tuner edition
with a few mech tech add-ons. Awesome.
Yeah, he's got like some tuner stuff. This guy, he decided. I think it was Alfie that decided to showcase some different stuff. Like one of them is from the Jetwing Prime,
right?
Which
when does yours arrive, Ender?
I'm not getting. That's just it. If you don't have a Revenge of the Fallen leader class Optimus Prime of any of the various varieties that have come out over the years, you should get one. It should have been a masterpiece. It's fantastic. It is a wonderful, awesome, very complicated toy. If you already have one, though, I'm not sure what like half of these would do for you.
So, so you get a pass if it's the same mold with the add-ons. Then
yeah, I don't get the same mold with add-ons. I would get a retool most of the time if it's significant. I don't get repaints. If it's an actual different character that I want separately, you know, like a Thundercracker or a Skywarp, like. All right, you repaint a Starscream. That's just what those things are, and I want those characters. They're attached to my childhood. But like painting Prime white and calling him Ultra Magnus.
No.
Not every Prime painted black with some teal is Scourge. And no, I wouldn't want a whole collection of Scourges anyway. I bought the first one when it came out. When the first one came out, I got the Japanese one, a black Prime at the time. Like, wow, that's unique. That looks really cool. 17 of them later, I was not so impressed. Yeah. And I really didn't get – I think the only other Scourge I bought was like the little tiny like miniaturized one. they had like with the micro changers or spy changers or whatever. A lot of these things, it's just like, I think I might even have one Japanese nicer version of the Revenge of the Fallen leader class Prime. It is a really phenomenal toy, but this is just the same thing with something to click onto him.
It looks okay. I mean, this stuff looks okay, but yeah, I wouldn't see really buying it if you already had one. And like right. I said, this particular picture set, and it's no, it is what it is. It just was kind of confusing because there was the jet parts and stuff, and I figured that was something separate, but I really kind of want that too.
Well, does it look really cool? Yeah, it looks really cool. It looks really cool in all the same ways.
Right, yes.
Leader Class Prime did.
Looks cool, yep.
I got to talk to the designer of said toy after I had reviewed it that year, and I gave it a 9 out of 10. And he was briefly furious. He was like, freaking fanboys, why are you really? It's like, it's nothing to do with the toy. It's because you put ages like 4 and up on the box. And a 4-year-old like cannot transform the feet of this thing.
Yeah.
There are 12 joints in the foot. And they were like, they should. It's like, sorry, that's the marketing department lost you a point.
Yeah. So last week we showed the pictures of the Dino Combiner, and we were generally not as impressed with that as we were with whatever the heck the other thing was in the picture. And I didn't know at the time, but apparently it's this thing called StarCats. Had anybody heard of this?
It's Thundercats in space, right?
I have no idea. I'd never heard of this thing.
Cats and Transformers.
I had never heard of it, but apparently it's some Japanese CGI show that I had never heard of. And it had, like, robots and combiners and stuff. But because it wasn't Transformers, it hadn't really hit on the radar of Transformer fans until last week.
Anything that isn't giant robots hitting each other is an instant genius and deserving of, like, multi-billion-dollar movies?
Apparently it should be. what it is, so the deal is, though, is this StarCats set is going to get a redeco as Defensor. So we got a picture of the center robot, I guess, in Hotspot colors. So that's going to be cool. That I can get behind.
It doesn't look that much like the Redectobots. I mean, it's like...
Nah, it's kind of like the essence.
Front, it's like, so this is something from another show. You're painting like this show... And you're actually going to rip off some knockoffy thing twice here.
Thumbs up. Let's do that. Why not?
I think if only because I'd like some kind of proper Protectobots. thing.
Yeah. I could totally, you know, honestly, I can see some of these third-party companies starting to get into the combiner groove because, you know, if this Hercules set, you know, really takes off, I mean, they're charging $100 a figure. They're going to get $60, $600 per set. If they get people shelling that out, yeah. I mean, that's like licensed print money.
Well, and if you can modular it properly, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Devastator was a big pain in the butt, but when they made the other combiners, the biggest innovation there is like once they figured out the little like ratcheting thing to stick the square head into, like those things were made of gold.
Yeah,
they just
total cheese.
Anything they wanted, as long as about yay big and had a little square that stuck out of it.
Let's put a tank and a jeep and a shuttle and a thing. Go.
I know it's like you look, somebody drew a great picture a few years back that was like if these vehicles were proportioned.
Yes. God.
Like, the space shuttle.
He looks like my cousin from the Hill Country.
falling over on like a little spindly Jeep leg. Oh, it was great.
Good times. So, Starscream Bumblebee kits. I don't know what that is. I can't pull up pictures where I'm at right now.
If we're gonna model of an F-22 anyway. I guess it might as well come with a diecast Bumblebee and have some stickers. But otherwise, wow, what a why bother licensed item.
1/144 scale. Cool.
I wouldn't be surprised if
you could build it. Some glue. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tomy had the toolings around for a kid of that particular jet to begin with and just decided to throw it in Transformers packaging.
Oh, yeah. Easy. They're like, hey, they're stupid. They'll buy it. let's see.
There's versions of it.
Yeah. Well, wait till the Thundercracker and then the Skywarp
with
version.
Without lame tattoos.
Yes. So we got some more looks at the world's smallest solo assault group, Suck Shot, which is the knockoff, I guess, thing. Six
Wait,
Shot?
What did you just say?
Someone put Suck Shot in the... I'm like Brian. I'll just read anything that's on the notes.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it's Six Shot is what it's supposed to be.
This is what you get for just directly reading the thing.
I know. I know. I walked into that one. Anyway.
I'm going to wait.
That looks kind of cool.
Hey, look. Oh, come on. Look at the thing. Look. I'm sorry. I already have a blocky, ratchety, transforming Six Shot that looks like crap. It came out in the 80s. The addition of metal to it does not make it automatic win. I mean, I know there's all this nostalgia for die-cast. I'm not sure why. It just seems to be like a material to which paint sticks to roughly as well as it does water. But like it's sturdier now. Like what? I need a sturdier, blocky Six Shot?
Yay.
Instead of like a cooler Six Shot? This thing still looks roughly as much like a wolf as a cinder block does.
I don't know.
And now, with the addition of diecast, might actually weigh as much as one. Is that like the benefit here? That's maybe diecast should have stayed a lost art.
Thank you, Beast Wars. So, Singapore ride, Transformers the ride. Sounds great.
In Singapore, you could not ride this ride this week.
No.
Gift shop is open.
You must be this much of a communist.
And go to the gift shop and buy knockoff toys.
That was a bad joke. Anyway. I don't know. I'm not going to travel that far to go to this ride. I'm just going to say that right now.
All the signs totally is in,
can wait.
Is in English
just wait
as well
the spring.
As they're completely counting on you to show up.
Where is this? Are we going to have one here? There's going to be one here. Where at?
Hollywood?
I'm not going to Hollywood to ride that ride either.
Michael Bay's house.
Well, just ride something else then.
I know. Well, I can't. The thing is,
Michael Bay's house version isn't actually going to go anywhere, but like hot underwear models and bikinis are going to clean it all day.
But that's not. thank you, Michael Bay. For setting women's lib back about 100 years. So,
and the statue of Optimus Prime is going to pee on monkeys.
Oh, We've gotten to that point, ladies and gentlemen. So let's rush along.
What do you mean? What do you mean? It's been there.
God, I know. This is true. This whole show. Just one endless train
ride. Michael Bay's been doing that from his balcony since, 2005.
That's probably it, isn't it? He's been to too many drunken frat parties, and that, like, peeing on things was the way to go.
It's like one long drunken frat party. He's going to, like, wake up in 3 years and be like, holy crap, they made those movies?
Wow. Who made this? This is great. I made this? That's awesome.
What's going on?
John, what's the chat like?
We're debating the value of Hercules, where we were a few minutes ago.
Ooh.
So he's got, like, arbitrary value, right? Because we didn't know that was worth $600 until they said he was worth $600.
Right.
So now we're saying, but we'd pay $300 to $400, even though we had no concept of value until
but
they said
James Woods was great in that movie.
Right. Yeah. So, but it's an interesting discussion because people are saying, okay, well, for $600, and I'm glad XV's not here because he'd already be going to town on that. So for $600, what would you buy? What would you pay for? So people are throwing out like Computron and Abominus. And I guess Devastator is the only combiner.
Prime statue I decided not to get.
Yes, half of Prime's body in some form. Two limbs and a head. I guess Devastator really is the only one that could like command that kind of money to start with, right? He's by far the most visible combiner. He's also sick.
$100 well, a yay ball. I mean, like, Devastator ought to be making me waffles or something.
At least the next morning. It comes in the mail, and then next morning, it's like...
Right, the night before, you get some
pancakes.
There's some other stuff being made.
See, now that's sad.
In the chat, bacon! Thank you, Devastator.
In the chat, Beatles Diva says for $600, he could get new tires for his car.
You get a car for $600.
That can put it in perspective, right? Or a kick-ass golf cart.
$600, I could get some really nice
What kind
tires.
Of car do you have that's only $600 to get a new set of tires?
What? What kind of car do you drive that you like?
I have an Equinox, man. It's like $300 a tire, you
know? Yeah, my tires are pretty... I went for the cheaper, and they were still $175.
So...
All right, car talk.
Oh, it's a Saturn.
Saturn.
I remember those. Those used to be cars.
Thanks, Nicole.
Those happen.
Let's drive like my co-host.
Those... Yes, as soon as GM dissolved it, her car just disappeared. Right. She was driving it.
Well, my... God. That was a great idea once.
Xbox.
Saturn. We were a great idea once.
Yeah.
So...
Just said Saturn, just no one realized that that's where the company was actually based.
Right. That's where the idea came from. Dude. Anyway, sorry, Nicole. We're not making fun of your car, just the company that made it. So I don't know.
Your mother.
I think the thing with the Devastator, I mean, it is kind of a bait and switch because they definitely like really showed off the pictures and really like, this is going to be the ultimate Devastator. We're all like, we want the ultimate Devastator. We must have it. And they're like, and it's $100 per unit. And we're like, that's that. What?
Maybe later.
Oh.
But, they can come back and do Computron for like $450 and we'll be like, what a steal.
Well, maybe. But
cheaper
see, the thing
to
is,
actually build the Robo Smasher and have it break into the factory and steal you a set.
But the problem is the proportions, right? Because, and that's like the advantage of doing Devastator, because you can have six equally proportioned figures that turn into Devastator. But when you get into like Computron or Abominus or whatever, the problem is that center robot was always much bigger so that they could be like the torso and hold everything. So you've got this.
Well, you got a
issue.
Leader and four figures is what you end up with.
Yeah, exactly.
That
and that's
be
where.
Okay.
So,
if anything, it was a bigger problem that it was like you had to buy like long haul and it was like, hi, I'm the crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the butt. Don't mind me. I'll be back here.
It was on a list of very brave names they had to try to name that thing.
Not that it would be – I'm not saying this is a great solution, but you could also with the limbs like have really beefy and significant accessories that turn into the thigh or the forearm and the hand.
I thought you were going to say beefy arms. I was totally going truck.
Well, yeah, almost always need something extra because those things really didn't work out well that way. They always had stumpy legs and stumpy arms.
It'd be hilarious if that they recreated that. Better,
fortunately. You know, even though they have the crotch long haul, who is also a dump truck.
And the problem with doing, I mean, I think a good example of where the problem is with doing like five figures that are the same proportion is like Predacon or Predaking, because like look at that figure. I mean, yeah, it's really big, but it's got a really small center body compared to like the big limbs that are on it, you know, and it's like, maybe that leader in the middle was a good idea.
Yeah, I see this came out in the same year those little muscle figures were popular.
Yeah. which is not like the Occupy people, which are like, anyway.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Some history here. There's some pain here.
So, that's the chat.
JD versus Occupy OKC.
This is the Penguin occupying. Anyway, so
so Arkham City.
Yeah, all I've been occupying.
Find the Riddler.
I occupied the hell out of Arkham City. Like,
that's right.
Still have not got to play it. So, comics came out today. Ongoing 30. I have it close to me, not in my hand, but close. Apparently, it's crap, but it's the end of chaos, so that's good news.
Yeah, that's the good news. You know, I give it 5 stars because it's over.
Just because it's over. It's the pain, the hurting will stop.
Yeah, like it opens up with like 8 pages of exposition of like, since we didn't use the last 30 episode, you know, issues to explain what we're doing now, we're going to do it here, which it says it's like co-written by Costa and Roberts, and having read both of their things individually, this is poor Roberts frantically trying to make this make sense.
Good luck with that.
Before they grow into his issues, because he's gonna get left holding the bag.
Is this like the So it feels like the beginning of like a season of like 24 or something, where they do something so ridiculously stupid, and then at the end they're like, "Oh crap, how are we gonna end this?"
Well, and this is what happens when you have like the person who's gonna have to write the next 30 issues being in on writing the last one and knowing that it's like completely tanked.
You're like, I can't save this ship.
If anything, if you look, I can't even quite tell what's going on, but all that's obvious to me is that that he's using the excuse of the way it's working to bring back a whole bunch of characters that were gratuitously killed before so that he gets to play with them. You know, just like, I don't want all these people to be dead. Hey, I can resurrect them while I have some modicum of control. The resurrection could be during this guy's schmuck horrible run.
we'll blame him later.
It's awful. The whole thing's awful. It ends awful. It ends exactly where I thought it was gonna. I actually put up my little Magneto-esque Ender was right thing just as celebration of this issue. It was like, see, this is where I didn't want to go. When I left, it's because we had a bus ticket to here. That's why I got off the bus.
Sometimes it sucks being right.
And, you know, I hope they get better. I really have high hopes that they'll get better. I think, certainly it has a lot of potential to it. The things he wrote before, even in this god-awful universe, were really good. But this is, you know.
Yeah. All indications are things are going to get better. So.
Yeah. This is such a celebration of mediocre. It's hard to like. It's like, this is Decepticon, who's in 2 issues and doesn't really matter. Could have been a missile barrage farted out of a for all he actually changes in the thing. This big, like, I am Megatron, and now I have Iron Man's chest RT. Like, because I thought that scene was cool in that movie, apparently. Yeah. I mean, that's like all that's going on here. There's nothing going on. And the big threat is they're like trying to bring in, they start calling the D-verse. That's D-E-verse, all right?
Is that like the Duh-verse?
This is like the name of like a rejected He-Man villain, all right? Like somebody who's like wearing like furry underwear with furry boots and is made of stars and over-muscular.
Wow.
This is D-verse. You know, I want Prince Adam to come up at the end of this issue and just be like, in today's story, D-verse didn't realize that spandex was a privilege, not a right.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have worn that furry thong into battle. And he paid the price.
So there you go. That's ongoing 30. And also of note, we'll say that Timelines Issue 6, the Stunticon job, is released today. Right now, somewhere in a deep hole, Chris McFeely is poring over the text, trying to figure things out. So, but yeah. So there's extra stuff in there from Jim Sorensen and Bill Forster as well. So good stuff. Check that out. We are going to take a break. Twitter Theater is coming up. So check that out with Rob. And we will be right back.
Hey guys, it's Rob. Radio Free Cybertron Twitter Theater time. What's up? That was lame. Zordon's calling. Yeah. Continuing with the Thanksgiving best of Twitter Theater, this week's Twitter Theater would be Little Superstar. Little Superstar served a nickname for this video. It's actually a clip from a, I believe, Indian movie named Kitty Pisasu, which is sort of a knockoff of Transformers, Harry, and Harry Potter, and I see a little HR Puff and stuff in there too. This video clip itself is a musical number in which the little girl who's the main character has a singing and dance number with her dead uncle, whose spirit is, some for some reason, a robot that transforms into a little yellow car. It looks like Bumblebee. So you get a singing number of this little girl in various outfits at theme park going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I wish I knew what she was saying, because all I hear is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- We'll call him Iron Warrior Yellow Jacket. It's all just dancing around with her, and there's times where, like, one of the dinosaurs, Dementia Golf Range, comes online. He's like, no, and he smacks it. Yeah. It's a weird clip. I mean, it's just weird. And if you take the time to find the actual movie, it's online streaming. It's availability also. It's the whole thing is weird. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's a weird movie. I guess if it's your culture or whatever, it might not be so weird. You'd be like, nah, this is good stuff. But for an outsider looking in, it's just weird. The plot of the movie, from what I recall, because I had to read it in the wiki. Hold on. I had a boogie. Is this? I think it's a witch or the spirit of an evil aunt or something possesses the little girl, and her dead uncle, whose spirit is in this car, comes back to life as the car and turns into a robot to protect her. And she gets in a little misadventures, and somewhere at the end, ghosts fight. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on at the end. I believe some evil spirit's fighting some evil spirit, and it's weird. It is a very strange movie. I watched it, I didn't know what they were saying, and the whole time this was my expression. Iron Warrior Yellow Jacket, though, is kind of neat. You almost kind of wish it was an official tie-in somewhere, like some Iranian version of Transformers. Like, they licensed it, and this is what they made. But no, they didn't. It's sad, though. Can you imagine people being like, you know, Michael Bay's Transformers are all right, but you guys should have seen the Iranian movie. Yeah. Bumblebee danced. I don't know. Well, that's it for this week's Twitter Theater. Next week is the last of the Thanksgiving greatest hits. What could it be? Only I know. And a couple of you have probably guessed by now, because it's not very hard. Anyway, enjoy your week, and go ahead and prepay your therapy for next week. All right, back to you guys.
Man, I love me some Master Force. Thanks, Rob.
Back, and we have the combination.
So then next week we'll get to find out what the actual final best of for Twitter Theater is. I have a guess, but I'm not going to say it. Anyway, that on helped. With things in the show, who would like to read This Day in History other than me and John? Because John has a job.
Oh, I will.
Okay, thanks, Ender.
Yay!
Ender's getting involved.
Whoa, that was a close one. Yeah.
Well, it's actually because, once again, I actually really enjoyed this episode,
yes.
Even though I think it comes up as like a This Day in History, November 18th, 1985, the original Transformers episode, The Girl Who Loved Power Glide.
Great episode.
It's in the U.S. It actually is a great episode.
I love it. It's fun.
Actually watch the episode. The premise is so easy to attack. You hear it and you're like, and it actually does go there. Like everywhere mm-hmm. you're worried it's going to go, it goes. Yeah. It gets there. But that episode is hysterical.
Yeah.
And is really well written.
It's another awkward and funny.
By Mr. David Wise. For one thing, it has like a human character who's a one-episoder who's actually worth watching for 3 seconds just for hilarity. Like there's this girl like by bad luck like destroys a Decepticon base.
I laughed
out loud. There's something where like they can't get the leads to stick on her head to get some information that isn't there, and Megatron's like, "Hold them on!" and like Soundwave is electrocuted, trying to hold three of them.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's just fantastic. And you know, there's some weirdness to it, but what it really is that instead of like Mr. Swoopy two-line power glide, David Wise like turns him into Cary Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's Cary Grant that whole episode. It's a big Cary Grant movie. And it's really good. It's also one of the only episodes Spike has any character in.
Yeah.
For the one scene he's in. He gets upset, jealous, and like makes sexual innuendo. About like, you know, you're thinking like, you know, like there's this robot and her like having this romantic thing. There's Spike going like, yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
Like, get a character,
man. That's conviction.
Your dad. You know, or your dad. Neither is present. Like,
yeah.
I'd be surprised if it was otherwise. I think that may be the only time Spike appears in a David Wise written episode. Just for like 2 seconds of actual character.
Literally or figuratively?
I think maybe literally.
Maybe literally.
Isn't in any of the other ones. And, you know, it's a rare episode, too, that features very little Prime, very little of the main cast, like little to no Bumblebee. I can't remember if he's in it at all. And isn't, like, totally abominable.
Hmm.
Lots of times it's like, we've strayed from the formula. And it's like, yes, and now it's crap. Oh, look, a whole episode of Sea Spray.
Yeah.
That didn't turn out so well, but this really did. And there are lots of goofy things, but there's nothing goofier about even the like heart at the end in his chest.
No.
Than any goofier than like Astro Boy.
Yeah. You know, and that is true. A lot of those focus episodes were really kind of, Beachcombers, I guess, was okay with like the Golden Lagoon thing, But this is like a solid, you know, nice power glide, you know. Like I said, Cary Grant, I mean, you can't go wrong with that, you know.
Well, I think David Wise episodes tend to be really good. And this is one of those, you know, you see the title. I remember, I don't think I'd seen this one really as a kid. If I did, I didn't remember. So when I came back up when I was like reinvesting in the Transformers as an adult, that title comes up, like The Girl Who Loved Power Glide. I'm just like, geez.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, what?
Like, oh, that can't be
Kiss players?
Yeah, I know.
That takes on a certain significance now that we're on the other side of Kiss players.
It's kind of given that a little bit of...
Shows you that there can be, like, you can have that plot line and not be...
Creepy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should not be incarcerated.
Right. It should not be Sandusky-like.
Yeah, I mean, that whole episode goes by, and, like, you're kind of like, it's actually going to the places where I kind of was hoping it wouldn't, but it's okay. It's not, like, you kind of come out of it like, well, maybe it's all right if her and Power Glide like each other. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's certain implications I wouldn't care to think about, but it doesn't go there either.
Yeah.
It just sort of has the, like, emotional component. And when you're looking at it, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, she's a cartoon character and he's a cartoon character.
It's okay.
And, yeah. You know, when you really get through it after a while, it's just like, the only real objection is Spike.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a question of anatomy you're not addressing. You know, but like, do you want us to address it? No. I'm going to go work on this car now. I'm going to go stick my head under the hood of this car and work on that. Like, isn't that what you didn't want to talk about?
I'm glad you like it. I like that episode, too. It's why I threw it on there. So
it's good. There's so much crap that gets thrown at G1 episodes, just sort of willy-nilly. I feel like actually, no, this is a good 80s cartoon.
Good fun.
It was good in the 80s when it was on for what it was. And to say anything else, I think it's kind of disingenuous. I think it's a lot of like, I mean, watch one show of G1 and you'll know how bad that was. Like, oh, really? Like,
watch that one, maybe.
A lot of other stuff that was on? Do we go out and buy collector's sets of that?
No. Are we on a show 15, 20 years later still talking about it? No.
Are we going to move to our Rainbow Bright topic in a moment?
Right.
Yeah.
Are we doing a Bone Age podcast?
Yeah. Where's our Dino the Dino Riders podcast?
Dino Riders special.
You know, are we going to, this day in RoboForce history, you know, Hundred's Revenge, are we going to do that next?
Not bad.
It's not going to come up.
Brave Star. Where's my Brave
Wheel Star? Wheeled Warriors. Anyone want to sign up for the Wheeled Warriors podcast?
There's got to be a Visionaries podcast.
There must be a Visionaries podcast. I will give that a pass.
It's probably like two episodes long.
Well, on iTunes, it's our inaugural episode, our first ever, and then our second, and nothing.
Or the Inhumanoids?
Yeah, or Centurions. Where is my Centurions podcast?
The Centurions are cool, but the Inhumanoids shows were in hell. Them in Spiral Zone. Like, yes, thank you for the adolescent nightmares.
Yes.
Right? Where's my Sky?
Let's just run the opening theme over and over.
I wish I had a Sky Vault.
The most 80s thing ever that ever happened in the 80s. Spiral Zone. Look it up.
Yeah.
Spiral Zone. They have like Spiral Zone and Exo Squad on right after each other. And those shows were so serious, they'd be on it like 5 and 6 in the morning, like stumping around like, wait, what's going on? It was like slowly brainwashing your mind into this state of horror. Like, wait, why is this happening on a cartoon? Cleared this. Good Lord.
So
it's like every other 80s cartoon I watched, except the good guys lost like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's just like picking up the pieces. That sounds great. That's like, awesome.
So this is basically therapy. So basically we just pitched like our next shows basically. Pick the one you like. Real quickly, I want to talk about this topic because this is an ender topic, right? This is, you came up with this.
Yeah, nobody came up with the topic, so I just threw one in.
It's fantastic. I appreciate all of that because again, last night when I should have been doing show notes, I was reading Failblog.
Well, that's I saw your mention of that and was like, oh, good. This is an opportunity for me to really screw this up.
Yes. So. Well done. So this is the one that got away versus taken to the cleaners. So basically the twofold kind of thing. One where – so if I'm understanding, one that you had and lost or didn't quite get.
Right.
And then one that you got but didn't – like the flu, you got it but you didn't want it.
Right.
So, examples.
Examples. I think my big ones that I have right now, there was I very publicly kvetched about the death of Robot Heroes. And very, very – just before the announcement that they weren't going to be made, on eBay, two or three rounds of – unreleased ones went through, and there were literally like three primes in that lot. There was a Robots in Disguise prime that was going to come with the Relative Megatron. There was a Beast Machines primal that was going to come with, I think, Jetstorm from Beast Machines. And there was, I know most people wouldn't count this as a prime, but Star Saber with Deathsaurus.
Yes.
And they looked awesome, and I love the Robot Heroes line. They all went for about $60 a pop for the pairs. Also, there's a Prowl and Laserbeak set that was going through. I think like there was like two or three of each of them. And at the time, I was looking at them and I was thinking, man, I am going to feel like such an idiot when I paid $60 for each of these, and they're going to be on shelves for $6 to $7 in 2-3 months. And I just couldn't be bothered to wait. And then came the announcement that these weren't going to be made. Mm-hmm. So that's, for a Prime collector, for a section of Primes he really likes, for a section of toys he really likes, to miss three of them, like, the collected money that seems like now, and what I'll end up paying if I ever do find them, seems so minuscule. It's just like, oh, God, if I'd known those weren't going to come out, like, $60 would have seemed like nothing, because you're just never going to find those. There's so many, half of finding stuff as a Prime collector is just like paying. It's not so much what you have to pay. It's being able to find someone to pay it to.
Mm-hmm.
And those just like drive me up the wall when I sit there. And I think I sat there and like watched those auctions go by thinking about that. I kind of thought of this topic though, because Peter actually was mentioning to me the other day about the Creo BotCon Prime. I took a bath on that.
You took a bath with it.
That's a whole different thing. That's a different show.
Clear that up a little.
That's RFC After Hours.
Mutually exclusive. Could both be true.
None of my primes go in the bath. Certainly not. Video, that has any
you get a video of vendor taking a bath with his primes.
Now the only Transformers I've ever had that actually got dunked underwater were I had a. Somebody gave me a box of their spare Beast Wars toys once in life, and there was a Depth Charge and a Rampage, and I already had some, so I put them in my fish tank to fight.
That's awesome.
What he didn't tell you was this happened a couple days ago.
Right. Yeah. And by fish tank, he means bathtub.
And there was like this bottom fish we thought was dead. It took up to living in Rampage.
By bathtub, you mean toilet bowl.
This 3-inch fish was coiled up inside Rampage.
That's a big toy.
That's a whole different show.
Yeah. It's like three podcasts.
That is a whole other show.
I think I paid the week of BotCon, fearing exactly what had happened to me with these robot heroes. I coughed up, I think, $40 for the little Creo Prime with the Matrix thing. Now, normally I don't get a repaint, and that's something I was going to buy the regular Creo Prime anyway. But the Matrix sticking out, I thought it was kind of a cool thing, and I thought I'd never be able to find it. So I legitimately wanted it, and I thought, I'm not at BotCon. I'm not going to be able to get my hands on one. And then it'll be like $100 in a year when I decide I want it. Well, back in reality, I managed to actually early pre-order the Creo Prime that was supposed to come with the proper Prime with just the window chest. Yeah, it had the BotCon one in it. They all did. The first run all had the BotCon.
Damn.
I managed to get it traded out for a regular one, so I didn't get extra hurt there. But it also struck me at Toys R Us last week that they just had the exact same little BotCon box on the shelf for like $7. So it was like, no matter how you cut it, I really ate it there.
Yeah.
That was a poor investment. And it sadly is one of a great many.
If you've been a collector anytime, So, Peter, any stories of the like?
No, none that I can think of, really. I just never really hunted.
We'll see Peter on
you. Can't say I hunted for toys a lot. It wasn't until actually it was never that I would just go to a store and be like, "Oh, this toy is cool," or "Hey, I saw this on my while writing about it on T-Formers or somebody else talking about it." But I never really avidly went for certain toys specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple. Maybe there was an alternator that I never got, like a Trax or something like that. But I'm over it.
Some toy collectors. Nice. Therapy.
Peter's groovy. He doesn't. He's just like, whatever. I almost got this one thing. It is whatever. Rob,
where are we?
Peter's like, oh yeah, you guys are nuts. I remember now.
I can't really
what am I doing
off
here?
The top of my head think of anywhere where I you know, seriously regret. I managed to block those out, I think, pretty effectively. But I do have
thanks for joining, Rob.
All right, peace out.
But I do have one that got away. 1991 or so, Lionel Kitty City was closing.
Wait, I'm sorry. Kitty City?
Yeah.
Like Kid. Not as
I didn't know they. I didn't know that was a chain. I thought that was just like a local Philly thing.
No, they had them down here in Baltimore too, and they were closing.
My Aunt Irene ran that place.
They were closing. Everything in the store was marked down. They pulled crap out of the back rooms that had not seen the light of day in 10 years. Masters of the Universe accessory packs, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons model kits. Wow. And there on the shelf amongst all the other weirdness was a Fortress Maximus marked down.
No.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot that. Go ahead.
It was not much, especially by the current standards of Fortress Maximus, but it was far, far out of my 12-year-old budget, and I couldn't get it.
Okay, I just got to say, Fortress Maximus, I can't believe I didn't think of this on this topic. When it was just getting clearanced, like regular, when it came out, I must have been, you know, 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Toys R Us near me had a dozen of them up on a top shelf for like the better part of a year that they couldn't sell, even with the big Horkin display next to that. And they got down to $50.
Wow.
And my father and I went to Toys R Us for the specific purpose of buying a $50 Fortress Maximus. And we just had missed the last one. Like an hour before.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And I took it rather well, and I look back as an adult and think I should have cried like a baby.
I'm crying now.
I need new pants.
I know.
It's just this line of them. In my head, there would be this line of them when we got there, and they'd have to go get some asshole to bring out a ladder and pull one down for us, and then I would have my $50 dream toy that was, like, as big as me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Ran out this morning.
So, John, what do you got?
I swear to God, this is true, but mine would have been Fortress Maximus, so I had a similar story. But I'm thinking more recently, the one that got away was a filthy, questionably legal add-on to Generation Superion. So the Fans Project armor, right, for mm-hmm. Superion, came in two flavors. It came in the standard gray, and then the much more toy-accurate, animation-accurate white.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Snowman variation. You follow me?
Mm.
And there was maybe, I think it was like 200 made of the white ones, probably less, maybe like 100 made of the less, of the white ones. I did not know of the existence of these white ones till said white ones were on eBay, and there were, for about 2 weeks, there were always like three, kind of just in constant rotation. But they cost like $200. And I said to myself, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to pay that. I am not going to pay that. And then a couple weeks later, they went up to $300. Oops. Started going for $300. So I was like, huh.
eBay is a harsh mistress.
Yes, it's a harsh mistress. So I started thinking, well, wait a minute. People are starting to pay more for these. What does that mean? What am I doing here? That's okay. I'll settle for the $70 gray one. It might be a little bit uglier. It doesn't really match anything, but it is what it is. So another week goes by, and then like psychology starts creeping in. I start looking at it thinking, man, it does look a lot like the animation. It does look a lot like the toy. That is a lot better. Is that $300 better? Maybe. So then I go on eBay, and I'm all ready to bid on one of the three that are constantly there, and I can't find one.
No.
And so I keep looking, and I look every week for like 3 months. I'm not lying.
No.
And I've never seen one ever again.
Oh.
So I think those were like the last three on the open market in the history of ever.
Oh man,
it hurts, buddy.
Yeah,
it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah,
and that's one of those. There are cases out there. That's one where literally you don't see stuff for sale like ever again. Kind of like Ender, what you're saying with
yeah, it's like yeah, welcome to my world.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like,
it's like,
well,
you don't get it when it comes out. I have stuff that I like bought prudently in that kind of time frame, and I have literally just never seen again.
Yeah,
and I look for stuff. Just like you know, just crazy thing.
Well,
or I'll see it, and it's like, and that's $1,000 now, and it was like $100.
Right.
Well,
it was like $100 the last time you saw it.
Because the only other people looking for it are people as psychotic as you.
Yay. Well, I think for me, I mean, my thing of stuff that always got away, the thing that'll kick me is something that I had and then lost, which is basically my childhood collection. I kept it really nice, and I had a decent, you know, collection of figures all the way from 84 figures, you know, up through like Pretenders and everything. And it was
I have this mounting sense of dread in this story.
Yeah, because I did this thing where it's like I'm a big kid now, and I threw it all in a box and like sent it to Goodwill. All gone.
I didn't take good.
And you woke up the next day.
Well,
you wake up the next day and you said, "What have I done?"
No, it wasn't the next day.
Came online.
It was like when I was in college and realized the Transformers were cool, and then I was like, "Ah!" Because I'm looking at eBay at the prices of things that I had, and I'm like, "I had that, and it's now $50. Damn it!" You know, and so. Yeah, I still like wake up in a cold sweat every once in a while, you know, like where is that? Oh, it's gone. It's all gone.
Spray, where are you?
Yeah, God. Anyway, and there's so many figures that I got and didn't want. I can't even go into that. hi, Pollux. Thank you for jumping up on my desk. And that's why it's getting dark. Pollux, get down. Cat. Sorry. Anyway. So, there we go. Great topic, Ender. I like that.
Thank you.
Very good. Come up with something next week. And
as usual, I have to come up with all the good stuff.
Brian will. Thank you. Because hopefully Brian will be back next week.
So I can make fun of him in person.
Yay! Much easier to do it that way. I mean, you can make fun of him when he's not here, but he doesn't respond, so it's not as exciting.
I always like to know that he's listening.
Yes. And he does. Go back and listen. And then makes comments. Point out, again, go to our G Plus page for both RFC and T-Formers. So you can plus one them, plus them, like them, whatever it is that you do on Google Plus. It's really cool. I'm liking Google Plus. You should use it more. But
I don't actually approve of liking things, but if you have to, you can do that.
It's a good thing to plus one. To plus. I think it's what you do. So, anyway, that's the show. Brian will be back next week. Brian is listening. See, he's in the chat. He's right there, listening away. So, Brian, I think, is supposed to be back next week. We'll see what happens.
So he says.
Who knows?
Run away. Well,
Brian, Brian apparently completely ruined my show on Sunday. So, here I am being a good steward of his. So, thanks, Brian. I'm kidding. Brian had some tech issues that were totally beyond his control.
This will not end well.
So, yeah.
You guys are going to end up like bitter old men who haven't talked to each other in 15 years.
No. Brian and I were...
No.
We're like... Oh, yeah. We're bras, man. Bras.
You're going to live across the street from each other and you're just going to sit on the porch rocking in your chair staring at each other.
Yeah.
Perhaps slowly patting a shotgun.
Angrily. Yeah. Kelby. Yes, grumpier old men. So, anyway, that's our show. So I want to say thank you.
I'm grumpier enough for us all.
Plenty to go around for lots of people. So that's our show. So Ender, thank you for being here. Peter, thank you so much for coming on. Peter was almost not here, so I appreciated him being here. Rob for filling in. and being with us, and John for what he does.
With the chat. I was just about to tell him to shut up.
I don't know.
He's so good with the chat. It's just like I can't do that. We know this. So anyway, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.